Welcome to the sixth podcast in the Energy Links podcast series. I'm Paul Rippey, the chief consultant to Axion's Energy Links project, and I'm the host for the series. In this episode, I'm here via Skype with April Alderdice and James Daly from Micro Energy Credits. April is a founding member of Grameen Shakti, the renewable energy business of Grameen Bank. She was also an associate at McKinsey & Company, and she started her career at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, working on the Renewables for Village Power program. She holds an MBA from Columbia University and a bachelor's degree in physics from Wesleyan University, and she's the co-author of Renewable Energy for Microfinance. James worked at the Grameen Technology Center since its founding in 2001 and led the development of the Microfinance Open Source Project. He holds a degree in MIS from Notre Dame and a master's in international environmental policy from the University of Washington. James is a longtime board member of Climate Solutions, an NGO in Seattle, and he has written on the impact of climate change in West Africa, where he was once a Peace Corps volunteer. Together, they have launched a company called Micro Energy Credits, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Micro Energy Credits is designed to link microfinance institutions to carbon markets to enable people at the bottom of the pyramid to have access to clean energy. They want to make energy-efficient resources, such as solar electric lighting, efficient cook stoves, and biogas fuel, accessible and affordable to those without access to modern energy. They're targeting the 2.8 billion people who live on less than $2 per day, typically in development countries. The company got a little boost by coming in first place in the 2008 Global Social Venture Competition. April Alderdice and James Daly, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe you'd like to start by talking about the origin of micro energy credits. How did you get started and what's behind the idea?
It was a bit of a case of serendipity. Both April and I quit our jobs about the same time, the same week actually. And we wanted to take that opportunity to do something creative. And so I had been interested in climate change and bringing clean energy to microfinance. And April had actually been working in this space. And I guess the thing that was really driving us forward was this: let's try to do something big. Let's try to do something that's highly scalable. We sat down and started talking about what would something like the Gates Foundation fund, what would be a massively scalable project to bring clean energy to the bottom of the pyramid that would really scale?
Well, I'm most interested personally in the part of you that's working to make carbon finance widely accessible. And I think everyone knows about how complex the systems of verification and measurement and controlling for additionalities and unpredicted effects and so on can be. So could you talk about that? Like, who do you see as your market, and what products are you going to offer to people who want to tap into carbon finance?
Sure. In terms of our market, I mean, currently people in poor regions at the bottom of the pyramid bear the full cost when they make an energy investment in renewables or clean energy technologies. And cap and trade markets like the carbon markets are designed to help transfer capital from polluters to the energy savers. The problem is transaction costs. And so what we wanted to do was find a way to basically eliminate transaction costs so that billions of people at the bottom of the pyramid could actually be receiving these subsidies and have the subsidies go where they're needed. The way we did this was, first of all, we put together a board of advisors. And so we've been really grateful to have the help of Beth Rhine at Axion, Dipal Chandrabarua, who is the managing director of the Grameen Bank's renewable energy business, Grameen Shakti, and he's also the deputy managing director of Grameen Bank itself. Craig Nakagawa at Village Reach, which is a nonprofit that provides energy for health centers in Africa. And also Charlie Tomberg, who is our first investor of the Tomberg Family Philanthropies. The next thing we did was we got some investment. So we worked with Charlie. He gave us a loan to build a beta version of a technology. Now, the purpose of this technology is to automate all of the tracking of the carbon credit. And so a lot of the transaction costs come in trying to keep track of thousands upon thousands of small energy investments. So we realized that we needed to use a technology that could massively aggregate all of these credits. The next thing we did was to sign on pilot partners. And our first pilot partner is Finca. Uganda, and we've been working with them. We've already operationalized with them, and we've sold our first carbon credit from them. The next thing we did was to work was to sign an umbrella carbon finance deal. So the other place that transaction costs come in is when you are trying to develop all of the project documents involved in carbon finance. So we linked up with carbon giant EcoSecurities. They are one of the most well-known firms in the carbon finance space. They were actually the first carbon firm to do a clean development mechanism project, which is a carbon project from the developing world. And they were actually looking for an opportunity to be able to access some of these small energy projects, I mean, relatively small compared to what they typically do in the developing world. And all of the projects that we're talking about with microfinance institutions fall into that category. They were looking for a way to do that, and we provided an option for them to massively aggregate using our technology. So we've signed an umbrella carbon deal. The other thing that we're grateful for is the help of our pro bono law firm, K&L Gates. So they actually enabled us to execute an extremely innovative and complicated legal agreement that we've put together with EcoSecurities. And I can't go into all of the details here, but let me tell you, it's cutting edge stuff. So we're very grateful for them to be able to do that. And yeah, those are basically the key elements that we have to make this happen. Anything else, James?
Yeah, I mean, I think another way to talk about this is in terms of reducing transaction costs. The analogy would be something like eBay, where you have millions of small entrepreneurs able to make money on this platform. And in the same way, technology can reduce the transaction costs for connecting the billions of dollars that are in the carbon markets with the billions of people who would like to have better energy choices. So what we're trying to do is connect the microfinance institutions to the carbon markets via a scalable internet technology. And this will enable clean energy access to the bottom of the pyramid. So really, that's our market. It's the bottom of the pyramid. It's anybody who would be a customer of a microfinance organization who would want to have an improved cook stove or a solar panel or a biogas digester or pole lantern, mechanical pole lantern, or a variety of different kinds of technologies.
So you'll use technology to take the administrative, legal, and sort of agglomerating burden off the shoulders of a microfinance institution.
If the microfinance institutions by themselves were to try to access the carbon markets, you know, they might be able to do it on a one-by-one basis, but it would take them a long time. It would distract management from that. So what we do is we take that part of the burden and we provide that as a service. And so that's our value to them. And so without us, it may be years before they get to this sort of thing.
Well, exactly right, because I know enough to know how difficult it is to meet the requirements, especially with the CDM. I mean, maybe the voluntary market is easier, but the compulsory market is extremely hard to meet the requirements. But so when you do all your work, what is left for the MFI to do? In other words, how easy have you actually made it?
Our whole goal is to make it easy for microfinance institutions to access the carbon markets. And so some of the things that we do to make it easy for them is that there's no minimum project size. There's no project development cost. The thing that the microfinance institutions have to do is the monitoring. And this is another innovation of our system. To reduce transaction costs, we leverage the ability of the microfinance institutions to have loan officers interact on a weekly or a monthly basis with their clients. And we leverage that interaction so that the microfinance institutions actually can monitor the status of the carbon credit as they monitor the status of the loan. Some people think that that sounds like a lot of work. But in actuality, it's very much worth it.
Well, certainly one of the assets of MFIs that doesn't show up in the formal, in the financial balance sheet, is just the goodwill that they have with a vast network of customers. And I've always thought the more you can repurpose that, the more valuable that should be for the MFIs. It was a pleasure to see you, April, at the Lighting Africa conference in Ghana in May. So I know you're already operational, but I think you're having a sort of a coming out party. Is that right?
That's right. August 16th. And we hope you'll be there, Paul.
Oh, I'd love to be. That's my wife's birthday. I don't think I can come. Or I'll bring her.
Yes, bring her.
Could you talk a little bit about your business plan? I mean, where do you expect to go with this? And how big do you think the market is for your services?
The market is enormous. There's, you know, on the one hand, there's 2.5 billion people who need access to clean energy. And, you know, there's a $100 billion market on the other side that would love to see developing countries get on a clean energy path. We're the platform between those two markets. So we think that the opportunity is large. We think that we're just starting to get into the model right now.
It's time for a short break now. When we come back, we'll talk about Micro Energy Credit's other product.
Well, I'm a little bird up in a tree, just looking for a birdie to sit here with me. She might be a duck, she might be a pigeon, she might be a finch, it don't matter which. In fact, I don't care if she's got skinny legs, just looking for a birdie to lay me some eggs.
This is the Energy Links podcast. I'm Paul Rippey, and I'm here with April Alderdice and James Daly from Micro Energy Credits. Now, Micro Energy Credits has two products. One is carbon credits, and the other, perhaps surprisingly, to me at least, is credits for progress towards the Millennium Development Goals. Could you talk about the MDG product?
In practice, many microfinance institutions can't afford to reach the poorest of the poor, because they have their own institutional need for financial sustainability. Millennium Development Goal credits build on the successful model of the carbon markets to address this exact issue. An MDG credit is 1% of one household reaching the Millennium Development Goals in their country. So, for example, if a special loan offered by a microfinance institution to a particularly poor neighborhood enables a under $1 a day household to increase their income by extending working hours or increasing their working capital, and then they increase their income above $1 a day, that will be 100 MDG1 credits. As you know, MDG1 is reducing the number of people that live under $1 a day. So it's possible to benchmark the MDGs, because the UNDP and other donor organizations have been working diligently for the last several years to collect information on exactly the metrics of how each country is progressing towards the MDGs. We can use that information to calculate how many households haven't yet reached the MDGs, which households they are, and also how much it costs to reach the MDGs in a given country. MDG credits are a scalable way to channel capital to innovations that will help us reach even further down to the last billion.
That's an exciting idea. Now, you know, in the case of carbon credits, it's clear where the money is coming from. If it's compulsory, it's coming from polluters. If it's voluntary, it might be from people who just want to reduce their carbon footprint. Where would the funding come from for the MDG credits?
Yeah, that's a great question. In some ways, what we have to do is we have to take a look at how development agencies are already spending money on meeting the Millennium Development Goals. Each country has set a goal, and country by country, there's a certain amount of money being spent by governments, by donor agencies.
Corporate social responsibility, right. Large philanthropists, the Gates Foundation.
Right, exactly. So there's
Packard.
In some ways, there's already a market for these that already exists. And so what we're intending to do is sort of formalize that market by bringing a quantitative, unitized, monetized methodology to it.
Yeah, I get that. It's like somebody wants to make progress towards the MDG. Rather than having to try to figure out how to do that and do some trial and error, they could come to you and just sort of like buy progress.
Exactly. I mean, the Kiva model is another one. I mean, many individuals want us to reach the Millennium Development Goals, but they don't have a good way to make a donation towards that, towards the MDGs, where they know the result has been achieved. They know that they're paying a market price for that progress. And they know that somebody's keeping track and it's being audited, that progress is really being achieved.
What should people do who want to contact you? And who are you looking for? Who would you like to contact you?
People should send us an email at info@microenergycredits.com or see our website at www.microenergycredits.com.
Thanks. April and James, this is a very exciting adventure. And I just admire you guys for going out on the limb here with some, I think, especially the MDG credits, I just find innovating and kind of exciting with a huge potential there, but also just aggregating carbon credits for small institutions. I know how important and how huge that can become. Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
What really motivates, I think, both of us is, you know, we've spent a lot of time in these developing countries, in Bangladesh, in India, in Uganda, Nepal, Pakistan, Honduras, I mean, all over the world, working with these incredibly innovative microfinance organizations. And so they're our inspiration. But they also, you know, they're working in markets and with people who need so much. I mean, they need clean water, they need clean energy, they need access to credit. And so I think that what we're trying to do and what really motivates us is trying to solve those problems for the bottom of the pyramid, and to do so in a really scalable way that will really bring great benefit to households and to families.
April Alderdice and James Daly, thank you for coming on the show. And thanks to Big Little Dipper Dipper for the music for the break. We'll be back soon with another podcast. This is Paul Rippey saying goodbye, and may all your energy be clean.
Energy Links podcast is brought to you by the Academy for Educational Development Field Project, www.fieldsupportlwa.org/energylinks, and the Center for Financial Inclusion at Axion International, www.accion.org/center, with the generous assistant of the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, and the Wallace Global Foundation. Of course, the views expressed are not necessarily those of the sponsors. Your comments and questions are welcome. Please send them to energylinks2009@gmail.com.